I don't know if you've ever been driving down the road and see a sign like this, the fun home. Sounds good, right? I go in, it's all quiet, people are crying. This doesn't seem very fun at all. Or this next one's a little bit more accurate, the I'm hurt emergency and trauma center. Fred, that leg doesn't look very good there. I think I'm hurt. Nowhere to take it. What about this? This is a great, I just wish I had thought of it this time of year, all those elves you don't know what to do with. Tacoma Elf Stories. I wish I had thought of it. These signs do a great job of illustrating our topic for today. See, when we read these signs, we don't have a vision problem, we don't have a reading problem. What we have is a power problem. Somewhere, in some point along the way, along the process, there's been a malfunction, a disconnect. The intended message is lost because of a power problem. For many of us, when we open up God's Word, when we sit down and try and have a quiet time, it just doesn't really make sense. We just don't really get impacted by what we're reading. So we don't have a vision problem. We don't have a reading problem. What we have is a power problem. Now, I get it. I know, you know, the Bible is sometimes confusing. It's an ancient book written to people very different from us. Our culture and language and everything was very different from us. And I get that. I know that it's hard. I know that there are some barriers there. But we have a lot of tools to overcome that. If you keep up with Jumpstart, I often link videos from YouTube, the Bible Project, to help us kind of bridge that gap, to give some context for the book, the Bible Project. It's a great resource online to just sort of overcome that. But that's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is, like in 1 Timothy, that says, all scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. And yet, we open up the Bible in the book, say like Leviticus, and okay, that's nice. You close it up, go about your day, you know, check off the checkbox, and there's no change there, no effect. Or what about in Hebrews that says, the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of the soul and spirit. See, when we dig into God's word, we should be changed. We should be impacted. We should be affected. But many of us do just accomplish a task. It's just something to do that at some point along your way in your Christian journey, somebody told you that you should be reading the Bible every day. So you do, but there's no change. There's no life. There's no power. So how do we connect? How do we fix the malfunction and get power to understand and apply the Word of God in our lives? Our text today will be in 1 Corinthians. If you have your Bibles, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 to 16. And as you're turning, I'm sure you're quite familiar, the Corinthian church was one of dysfunction. They had a lot of issues going on, from legal disputes to a lot of problems with idolatry and sex, and even a case of incest that Paul has to address in this letter. But where does he start? He starts with this issue of wisdom. And our passage today in chapter 2 is right smack in the middle of him addressing this issue of wisdom. See, foolishly, the Corinthians had gotten to experience a teaching of a variety of teachers. And they've been left, some of them saying, I follow Paul, I follow Apollos, I follow Cephas. And it's just, Paul, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Do you not understand? See, each of them have enjoyed the wisdom that these different teachers have had to offer. And Paul goes about defending his own wisdom that he preaches. And he said, when I came to you, I came preaching the gospel. So you don't have a wisdom problem. What you have is a gospel problem. And if you don't understand the gospel, Paul is not going to move past that, because that's what you need. That's what's most important. You don't have a wisdom problem. You have a gospel problem. And that is where Paul is going to spend his time. And he says, the gospel, the word of the cross in verse 18, chapter 1, is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to those of us being saved, it is the power of God. But as we get over into chapter 2, verse 6, he says, I do speak wisdom. I speak wisdom amongst those who are mature. So you're not ready to receive what I got. You don't have a wisdom problem. You got a gospel problem. You've not yet gotten the maturity it takes to receive the wisdom that I have to offer. In chapter 2, Paul refers to this mystery. The mystery that we didn't quite understand, or people didn't quite understand until Christ came. And when they got to see and experience the gospel, especially in New Testament times, we look back on the Old Testament with greater clarity, saying, I get it. It makes more sense. This mystery has been revealed through Christ. But they're not ready for it. They've not yet reached maturity. And so this is where we find ourselves as we open up in chapter 9. Verse 9, not chapter 9. Chapter 2, verse 9, excuse me. But just as it is written, things which eye has not seen and ear has not heard, and which have not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love him. For to us God revealed them through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God, which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. But a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually appraised. But he who is spiritual appraises all things, yet he himself is appraised by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he will instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. So where does the power we've been missing come from? We see it straight in the text, is from the Holy Spirit. First thing we're going to do is dig into this passage and see how the Holy Spirit shapes, charges, adds power to our time in God's Word. This is what theologians refer to as illumination. The illumination of the Spirit is where we're going to be looking today. And it's this theology, this doctrine, and those are sometimes dirty words, but it will change your time in God's Word. The second thing we're going to do is explore the Holy Spirit's job as illuminator and dig into it and see what that looks like. And then we're going to see how it affects our lives, how it affects our daily time in God's Word. So the first thing, as we dig into the passage, we see that wisdom begins with loving God, revealed through His Spirit, recorded by the authors of Scripture. We're going to take these one at a time. So wisdom begins with loving God, looking at verse 9. Things which eye has not seen and ear has not heard, and which have not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love Him. I just mentioned in verse 6 that Paul says we do speak wisdom among those who are mature. And there is a link between those who are mature and those who love God, because to attain maturity, it starts with loving God. So Paul is talking about this mystery, revealing this mystery. To receive the mystery, you have to have wisdom. To have wisdom, you have to have maturity. To have maturity, you have to love God, and so that you can receive the things that He has prepared to teach you. So wisdom begins with loving God, revealed through His Spirit. Look at verse 10. For to us God revealed them through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. Paul states plainly, God revealed wisdom through His Spirit. See, none of us can really know each other that well. You don't really know me. I don't really know you. The only person who knows any of us is the Spirit that lives within us. And if we are going to know God, we need His Spirit to teach us. And thankfully, by His grace, He's given it to us. See, if you've done the Romans 10:9 thing, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. And also, we know from other passages, you will receive God's Holy Spirit. See, after Jesus ascended and went to be at the right hand of the Father, at the day of Pentecost, we read in Acts that the Holy Spirit came upon the apostles and began teaching the church. And ever since, Christians have been indwelt, is the word that we use, indwelt by the Holy Spirit. And He is revealing these things to us. Wisdom begins with loving God, revealed through His Holy Spirit, and recorded by the authors of Scripture. Verse 12, now we have received not a spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God, which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. This process is what is another role of the Holy Spirit that we refer to as inspiration. You see, the authors of Scripture were inspired by the Holy Spirit. And 2 Peter refers to them as being carried along by the Spirit as they pen the words of Scripture, using their own language, their own memories, some, you know, their own thoughts. But they were revealing this mystery that God is declaring through His Spirit. And it has been passed down to us from generation to generation in the words of the Bible. Wisdom begins, though, with loving God, revealed through His Spirit and recorded by the authors of Scripture. And amazingly, the same Spirit that inspired the authors of the Bible indwells believers and is teaching us truth. So I want to shift gears a little bit and explore the Holy Spirit as illuminator and what that really means. The Holy Spirit's job as illuminator is to help us, one, understand God's word, and two, discern His will. If you want to know more about this, if you want a little extra credit, I cannot recommend this book enough, The Promise by Tony Evans, one of my favorite pastors and preachers out there. Really great book. I read it in school, Experiencing God's Greatest Gift, the Holy Spirit. And in this book, he talks about the four parts of the Holy Spirit's role as illuminator, that through the illumination of the Spirit, we can have spiritual discernment, the power of recall, spiritual confidence, and spiritual direction. And I'll take these one at a time. Spiritual discernment is the ability to distinguish good from bad, right from wrong, and to make sense out of what is happening. See, as we open up God's Word, it is the illumination of the Spirit that teaches us what it has to say. That we get in tune with the heart and the mind of God, and so that as we look out and see what's happening in the world, as we look at the news, as we look at politics or what have you, that we call what God calls good, good, and that we call bad what God calls bad. We have discernment. We have spiritual discernment by the Holy Spirit. The second thing is the power of recall. John 14:26, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom my Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. Now that's Jesus speaking to his apostles in the upper room before the cross. And he's saying, I'm going to send you a helper. I'm going to send you this Holy Spirit who will come and who will indwell believers to remind you and to teach you and to reveal my truth to you, even after I'm gone. And we still have that power today. The power of recall is the biggest reason that you should meditate and memorize God's word, because it is amazing that as you get into a conversation, especially with a non-believer, or you enter into a situation where temptation arises, how the Holy Spirit will bubble up this verse to the surface, that you needed that verse at that time, and you have no idea how you can say it word perfect because you memorized it when you were three. And yet the Spirit does this. The Spirit recalls Scripture to our mind, the Scripture that we sometimes have buried in long ago. And that, these two things give us spiritual confidence. Evans writes this, we don't have to be timid as Christians, because through the illumination of enlightenment of the Holy Spirit, we can know where we're going and what's happening. When you know that, it gives you confidence. You see, we have discernment. We can open the Bible. We can look at it. God has taught us what it means, and we can apply it to our lives and in the real world. And we have the power of recall that as we enter into situations or conversations, we can have confidence, because the Holy Spirit has taught us and is teaching us this mystery. Lastly, we see spiritual direction. I'll just read this to you in full. It's a little wordy, a little complicated, but I'll kind of try and even it out. How does the Holy Spirit figure into spiritual direction? The Bible gives you the objective standard. The Holy Spirit gives you the subjective leading. The Bible gives you the biblical parameters. The Holy Spirit guides you within those boundaries of those parameters to the specific goal God has for you. Therefore, when your commitment to the objective Word of God is tied to that dynamic relationship with the Holy Spirit, He provides you with the subjective, internal illumination and direction you need to get where God wants you to be. Now, to put that in a little bit plainer language, see, God's Word provides us with objective truths, principles to live by. And as we read it and experience life, our subjective experiences, we get to compare those to that objective truth, and we get direction. That thing that many of us long for, that many of us need so badly, we can find in God's Word. But how do we get here? How do we connect? How do we fix this malfunction and get this power as we dig into God's Word? Well, I think simply, you have to ask for it. You have to seek the illumination of the Holy Spirit as you discipline yourself for daily Bible intake. Seek the illumination of the Holy Spirit as you discipline yourself for daily Bible intake. When I think about, teach on, I'm reminded of the things of the Holy Spirit, like the spiritual gifts or whatever, even especially wisdom, I'm reminded of the boy who fell in the bucket of molasses, who prayed, "Lord, may my capacity meet this opportunity." See, if we struggle with anything, I think it's with capacity. And another, I listened to a message of Tony Evans. I was struck, and I always remembered this illustration that he gave, even from years and years ago. I shared it when we were in El Salvador with our El Salvador team, because God has just been putting this on my heart over and over. And that is, if you take a thimble to the ocean, you dip it in the ocean, you fill it up. All you can take with you is a thimble's worth, because that's all you have. The ocean has a lot more to give, but all you can carry is a thimble's worth. But if you take a bucket to the ocean, you can fill up that bucket. And it's more than the thimble, but you can only carry what that bucket has to offer. If you take a barrel to the ocean, you get more in the thimble, more in the bucket. But as you fill it up, it can only hold a barrel's worth of ocean. If you take a tanker and fill it up, you get more than the thimble, more than the bucket, more than the barrel, but you can only fill it up to what it can hold, which is only a minuscule part of the ocean. You see, the problem is not what God has to give. The problem is with the capacity we have to receive it. The problem is not with what God has to give. It's with the capacity we have to receive it. I think too often in our discipline of Bible intake, we fail to take the time that is necessary before we dig in to just seek the Holy Spirit in the process. Just a simple prayer of some sort, you know, there's no magical words, but just something like, "Lord, I need you in this time. I need you by your Spirit to teach me, to guide me, to raise some verse or passage up out of this text that will change the rest of my day. Lord, that you will teach me something and reveal something to me." And I believe the Lord loves answering those kind of prayers. This process, of course, assumes that you have a daily time of Bible intake. If you're around Centerpoint very long, you're going to hear us teach on the benefits of being in God's Word, especially if you go through our discipleship books. And it's in those discipleship books, especially, that you see all these promises that God has for those who will get into His Word. All you have to do is be in it. There are many, many upsides and no downsides. And as I lead guys through this discipleship material, I will often say, how big a fool will you have to be to not claim these promises that God has for you just by getting into His Word? But I think the problem is that many of us, we just don't feel the need that we have. We just don't get it. I love what Dwight Moody said. A famous evangelist from many years ago: "A man can no more take in a supply of grace for the future than he can eat enough for the next 6 months, or take sufficient air into his lungs at one time to sustain life for a week. We must draw upon God's boundless store of grace from day to day as we need it." If you eat once a week, if you breathe once a week, you're not going to last very long. And yet that's what many of us feel that we can do spiritually. Only one time a week coming and getting fed. Only coming once a week and taking a breath. the Lord has been challenging me a lot in my own life in recent weeks to seek discipline. I know that it may be a shocker to many of you that I struggle with discipline, especially considering my magnificent physique. It's the loudest laugh I get all day. Good job, church. You should be ashamed. Now, the Lord's been working me over on this, and so this book was recommended to me, Spiritual Disciplines for the Christian Life by Don Whitney. It's a great resource. And in this book, he gives some really practical tips on how to start a daily time in God's Word if you don't already have it. He gives three simple steps. Great practical advice. First is to set a specific time. For some of you, that may be 6:30 a.m. For others of you, it may just be before breakfast, before I get out of bed. But set a specific time so that you can hold yourself accountable. Number two, he says, get on a reading plan. So there's been a lot of people well-intentioned that begin to open up God's Word and say they're going to read it cover to cover, and by the time you hit Leviticus, it gets a little bit rough. I kind of rag on Leviticus a little bit. But I did do a heavy study in it while I was in seminary, and pretty neat book. You know, you kind of, your favorite book's the one you're in. Well, there was a time when Leviticus was my favorite book. Anyway, not a lot of amens on that, huh? Pick a reading plan. That's where I was at. Pick a reading plan, something that will take you, you know, to a variety of different genres or whatever. There's so many out there that you can pick. From any Bible app, we'll have them, BibleGateway.com. There's all sorts of resources out there that will help you get on a reading plan. And I'll talk a little bit more about Jumpstart, which is the plan that we use. And it sort of breaks it up so that you're not hitting the same thing that'll kind of bog you down. Get on a reading plan. Thirdly, he says, pick a word or phrase to meditate on each time you read. Again, going back to, if you spend time praying, seeking the illumination of the Holy Spirit before you even get into God's Word, there will be a good chance that God will answer that prayer and something will stick out, something will come forward. And if you take the time necessary to think about that, to dwell on that, for just even a few minutes after you get done, it's amazing what you see throughout your day, how that verse applies to so many things. Set a specific time, get on a reading plan, and pick a word or phrase to meditate on each time you read. So what should we do? This is New Year's Eve. It's a time for setting goals, setting resolutions. I would challenge you that if you don't have a daily time in God's Word, that this is the time to jump in. The church, the pastoral staff team, writes a daily devotional blog called Jumpstart that is extremely helpful with this. It's a plan where we track through the Bible over a long period of time such that you're only reading a chapter or so a day, and then we help you by giving a short commentary, some applications, some things to think about from that passage. And tomorrow we start a new book with the new year. We're getting into Luke 1, and we didn't really plan it like this, but I actually wrote it. Can't really remember what I said because I wrote it some time back, but sure, it's great. So you guys are getting a lot of me these next couple days. That's okay. I mean, I'm sure it's very good. Anyway, tomorrow Jumpstart begins January 1 in Luke 1. It's a great time to jump in with us. Jumpstartcpc.com. We do this on occasion, but if you have your prayer cards, go ahead and pull them out for me. What I want you to do, I'm going to do it a little bit differently than we've done it in the past. I want you, on three lines, I want you to write 1, 2, and 3. And on the first one, we want to ask you to see if you will commit to going through Jumpstart with us. That over this next year, that you have resolved yourself, that you need to have time in God's Word, that you need the illumination of the Holy Spirit that comes only through your time in God's Word. And Jumpstart is a great place to do it. That number one, you will commit to doing Jumpstart with us every day. Number two, because like me, if you've struggled with discipline, one of those things that really, really helps is just setting a specific time. Number two, set a specific time. tell us when you are going to be doing it. For some of you, again, it might be 6:30 a.m., it might be 7 a.m. Others, it's before breakfast, before I get out of bed. You know, whatever that is, let us know. Set a specific time. And number three, this is where the rubber meets the road a little bit. You see, I kind of geek out a little bit on some things, and we've been, fortunately, kind of, I've in my role here at Centerpoint with dealing with connections, I have sort of pushed through, kicking and screaming, new software that we use for a lot of the stuff around the church. And it does not matter for most of you, it's kind of nerdy, but one of the benefits of it is that it allows us to communicate better. For number three, if you would not mind us asking you occasionally, how's your commitment going? If you did number one, I'm committing to Jumpstart. If you've set a specific time, would you mind if we followed up with you on occasion? I mean, we're not going to spam you. We're not going to text you every day. Hey, you haven't logged in. You know, we're nothing like that. Maybe on occasion. We might not even do it. I don't know. You know, we'll see. But do we have your permission? If so, just write yes by number three. But number one, you've committed to doing Jumpstart this year. Number two, you've told us when you're going to do it. Number three, you wouldn't mind to be followed up with about it, that you are committing for real. Include also your name and phone number so that we know who you are. If we're going to follow up with you, please do not write the name and phone number of the person sitting next to you. That's not cool. Please don't do it. But that's what we would love to see. We want to see Centerpoint Church in 2018 be a church that is moved by the Word of God, that through the Holy Spirit, God is teaching us to read and apply His Word. Because that is where change happens. In closing, I want to read a prayer. The Puritans kind of get a bad rap sometimes, but there's a book called The Valley of Vision, which is a collection of Puritan prayers and devotions, and it is amazing sometimes to read these prayers. And people have different thoughts on, well, should I read prayers or just pray? I think it's okay on occasion. Just look at how someone else prays. And as we read this, what you're going to see is depth. You're going to see theology. You're going to see Bible applied to a prayer. And now, again, when you pray before you get into God's Word to seek the illumination of the Holy Spirit, there's no magic words or phrases. You don't have to pray like this. But I just want to show this as an example of how one generation in our Christian history prayed. It's beauty, it's depth, it's richness. It says, O God, the Holy Spirit, that which I know not, teach thou to me. Keep me a humble disciple in the school of Christ, learning daily there what I am in myself, a fallen, sinful creature, justly deserving everlasting destruction. Oh, let me never lose sight of my need of a Savior, or forget that apart from Him I am nothing and can do nothing. Open my understanding to know the Holy Scriptures. Reveal to my soul the counsels and works of the Blessed Trinity. Instill into my dark mind the saving knowledge of Jesus. Make me acquainted with His covenant undertakings and His perfect fulfillment of them, that by resting on His finished work, I may find the Father's love in the Son, His Father, my Father. And may be brought through thy influence to have fellowship with the three in one. O lead me into all truth, thou Spirit of wisdom and revelation, that I may know the things that belong unto my peace, and through thee be made anew. Make practical upon my heart the Father's love, as thou hast revealed it in the Scriptures. Apply to my soul the blood of Christ effectually, continually, and help me to believe with conscience comforted that it cleanseth from all sin. Lead me from faith to faith, that I may at all times have freedom to come to a reconciled Father, and may be able to maintain peace with Him against doubts, fears, corruptions, and temptations. Thy office is to teach me to draw near to Christ with a pure heart, steadfastly persuaded by His love, in the full assurance of faith. Let me never falter in this way. I hope that that prayer echoes with you this morning. That as we seek the illumination of the Holy Spirit, that your heart, that your mind will be changed in this coming year as you discipline yourself for daily Bible intake. Again, Jumpstart is a great resource for that, and I hope you can take advantage of it. We look forward to seeing your commitment. Father God, thank you so much for this time that we have together. Lord, we need you desperately. We need your word. We need your spirit. Lord, if we are going to be changed, we need both. And Lord, I pray today that as we stand here and consider the power that is found in your word and by your spirit, Lord, I pray that you would teach us, challenge us to go from here. That this year will not be like last year. We will not be unchanged, but we will be changed. That center point would be a place where the Word of God is living and active. That we can stand in any scripture, and all scriptures inspired by God and profitable. Lord, that you, by your Spirit, speak to us in every passage, every day. Lord, that as we encounter this world, as we encounter non-believers, that we can have that discernment, we can have that recall, that we can have confidence and direction. Lord, we give it back to you. It's in Jesus' name we pray.